Bibles, turn with me to the gospel, to the book of Romans, sometimes called the fifth gospel, the gospel according to grace, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at one verse this morning. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you anoint the ears to receive into their spirit what the Holy Spirit has placed here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12. This morning I want to talk about three things. Romans 12, 12. And it says, let me find it here. Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know, sometimes we think in terms of volume with scriptures, and really there are verses like this one in Romans that speaks volumes. I don't have to know the whole Bible, I just need to try to apply what I know, amen? And this is a mouthful, really, the first thing Paul says to the Romans, and of course there is a whole context of this verse. But I'm really not going to get into it because I think these three things are valuable things to think about. Rejoicing in hope. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. Oh, I hope I get that raise. I hope I finish my man cave someday. I hope, Carolyn's hope is I finish my man cave someday, right? Will this thing ever end? I hope to feel better when I'm sick. I hope to whatever, right? A feeling or expectation and desire for certain things to happen. I don't hope I get a toothache. That's not desirable, is it? It's for something that I desire to happen, something good. I have hope for. I want to look at a few things that hope does. Hope enabled Abraham to be the father of a nation. He had to have hope. Romans 4:18 tells us, against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, that's a statement in itself, according to that which was spoken. God gives us his word, his precious promises in the scriptures, and he tells us to have the audacity to believe it. And that's where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from the promises of God. God told Abraham, you will be a father of many nations, right? And so Abraham had the dubious task of having to hope or believe the promises of God. Now, it says in this verse, Romans 4:18, who hoped against hope. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means his situation, you ready for this word, was what? Hopeless, right? Hopeless. Have you ever felt like something's hopeless before? Sure we have. It just seems hopeless. Well, what's the point? It seems hopeless. Last Wednesday, I took a deviation from our normal sermon, and I told about how after the church closed in 2006, I sold most of the stuff that we had, all the chairs and a lot of stuff, because I my faith was pretty diminished, but I had a little bit of hope, so I kept my pulpit and the sound system in the garage. So, you know, hope is that hanging on when everything looks hopeless. Against hope, he believed in hope because he knew who promised it. Amen. Now, if somebody, if one of you guys promised me something, I may not have as much hope in your promise. Nothing against you, but, you know, even the best of us sometimes, oh, I forgot, I'm sorry. You know, but God never forgets. His promises are yes and amen. And so Abraham, it enabled him to be the father of a nation because against hope, he hoped and believed that what God had promised he was able to perform. The second aspect of hope is it is a saving element of my life. Amen. If I want to have life, I need to have hope. Romans 8:24. But we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? So we are hoping in something we cannot see. And that's wherein the whole faith thing comes down to the wire. How do you know? I just know. Give me evidence. I can't. I believe what I cannot see. I hope. I have hope. And I am saved by my hope. We are saved by hope, Romans says. 8:24, we are saved by hope. Hope that's seen is not hope. You can see it. You don't need to hope for it. I hope. Give me something that you can't see you hope for. Just throw it out there. Oxygen. I hope I get a next breath, right? If you get trapped in a cave, I hope I have enough air to breathe before they, you know, don't rescue me or whatever. They do rescue me, right? Now, the scriptures are a source of our hope, Romans 5:4, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scripture might have hope. And so my hope comes from the scripture. The Bible says faith comes by reading the word of God, right? By the word of God. And so here again in this Romans 5:4, it says that our hope comes through patient and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope. And I love those Old Testament stories because they're all about people who did not give up on God, who had hope. You know, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph. And all the way down, you know, Esther and Ruth, all these great patriarchs were patriarchs of faith and hope who believed God against all circumstances. Now, one of the things about hope is it's eternal. We know that from 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abides faith, hope, and love, or charity, these three. And the greatest, of course, is love. And so hope is going to go on. I don't really understand that because I don't even know why we need faith in the millennial reign or in the eternities, but the idea is that faith and hope and love are God, and God is eternal. So I guess I'm really answering my own question, aren't I? That as long as God is God, there will be faith, and there will be hope, and there will be love. They are eternal. Now we are called to testify of our hope. That means tell someone, right? 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. In other words, don't do it haughty. Don't say, well, look down your nose. I mean, before Jesus came in my life, I was just as lost. And so we're ready to testify why we believe what we believe. Well, let me tell you what the Lord done for me. Let me tell you about when I got saved. Let me tell you about when I put my hope in this great gospel of Jesus Christ. And with meekness and with fear, we are to testify of the hope that is in me. Is hope in me? Yes, it is in me. Because I'm still not seeing Jesus. I'm still not seeing graves open. I'm still not walking on streets of gold. My situation, other than my faith and my hope, has not changed physically since I first believed. But I have hope. And then, of course, rejoicing. The scripture says to rejoice in hope. See, if I just have hope and it doesn't change me, then, wow, I'm of all men most miserable. But if genuine hope will change me, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Right? When I think about that God loves me so much, he gave his only begotten son for me. When I think about how Jesus went ahead to prepare a place for me, how I think Jesus is coming back for me, how Jesus loves me with an everlasting love, how he's never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. And so I rejoice in this hope. Here's how Isaiah said it, 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Say yes to the dress. Say yes to the dress. God has clothed me with the garment of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness. I'm like a bridegroom decked out herself with ornaments as the bride adorns herself with jewels. And that's something to get excited about, isn't it? That's something to rejoice about. Look at my new clothes. I'm clothed in the robe of righteousness. I am covered with the garment of salvation. Just walking around clothed. You know, Jesus told the story about a wedding feast. And they were all invited. The people were told, and some wouldn't come. They said, I'm too busy doing this or that. And so he said, well, go out to the highways and the hedges and bid whosoever will to come in. And really, it's about how the Jews rejected their Messiah and then the door was open to the Gentiles. But in that story, there is one part of it where some dude comes in unclothed. And they said, sir, what are you doing coming into our wedding unclothed? And they cast him out, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's only one way to get to the wedding, and Muhammad is not the way. It's through Jesus Christ and his atoning blood, and only his atoning blood can clothe you with that garment so that you will be accepted into that wedding feast someday. Amen. So that's why we rejoice in hope. It's not just hope. We rejoice in hope because we know what that hope is bringing. We know what our future is by that, and therefore we rejoice in hope. Jeremiah said it this way, your words were found, and I did eat them. Have you ever read the Bible, and you spent some time in the Word, and when you get done, you just have that gushy feeling on the inside? Oh, man, God. I don't know if it does it to you, it does it to me. It's manna for the soul. And Jeremiah said, and your words were found, and I ate them, and the words were likened to me joy and rejoicing in my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Called by your name. Father, this is my son, Roger. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And so, how do you rejoice? You rejoice in hope. Why do you rejoice? Because of your hope, right? And so we have a reason to rejoice this morning. Saved, right? Born again, there's really been a change in me. My first album I bought as a new believer back in 1979 was Evie. Probably Eddie and Nola and me. I don't know if anybody else remembers Evie, a little blonde-haired girl. But that was her number one hit. Born again, there's really been a change in me. I wore that album out. Wore it out. Because there really was a change in me. God changed me. And I rejoiced in hope. One more rejoice verse, 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, right? Why? Well, you love him, but you haven't seen him. You believe, and you haven't seen him. I can't see him, but I believe. And my faith and my hope brings a joy. And so, our text, the first thing in Romans 12, it says, rejoicing in hope. When I understand what my hope brings, I got a reason to rejoice. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about, wow. You know, Lord, I may be going through this valley right now, but I'm looking past the valley. I know, Lord, I may not feel well right now. I'm sick. I got a cold, or I'm hurting. My knees hurt, or whatever. But I'm looking past my aches and pains. I'm looking for Beulah land. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking past the things of this world, and I get joy when I think about what He's done for me. You know, they say when Douglas MacArthur left Africa during World War II, he told those people, "I'll be back." And those words gave them strength to continue to hold the enemy at bay for like 18 months, if I remember the accuracy of it, until he and the troops came back to help him win that last battle. And Jesus has said to you and I will be back. And so we hold on with joy in that hope. Amen. Now the second thing in our text he said is patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. That's a little bit different, isn't it? The definition of that is patient is able to tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without, this is the important part, without becoming annoyed or anxious. That can kind of step on your toes a little bit, isn't it? You know, I'm tolerating this, but I'm not liking it, Lord. And, you know, we grumble. Well, no, that's not really being patient. It's to tolerate the delays, the problems of suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. And that is a little bit different. I don't always pass the test. But I am told to be patient in tribulation. Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience you possess your soul. I wonder how many people will wake up in hell someday because they weren't willing to suffer a little and just be patient. You know, for every valley, there is a mountaintop. We can't always live on mountaintops. We can't live there all the time. We will go through valleys. We will go through hard times. We will go through suffering. But you can't quit. You've got to be patient in tribulation. James 1:4 tells us, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I don't know if her is really, it's one of those italicized words in the King James, and I've been told that those are inserted, but what would make them insert a feminine, what is that, pronoun or something? I don't know. Let patience have her perfect work. Carolyn bought this little glass square thing I was to put my spoon in when I had my coffee. But I didn't like using it because I always dribble coffee and had to waste a paper towel anyway because the pot would, you know, and then she's so good at decorating and everything looked so nice, and she didn't want coffee stains on the counter. It's like, put your spoon in this little, like, spoon holder thing. We had a little conflict this week, I'm telling on her. She comes downstairs, and there's a folded paper towel very neatly with my cup and the spoon on it. Why aren't you using this? I don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? You're wasting paper towels. I don't care. I don't like it. I have to use a paper towel anyway. I dribble it. So she just picks it up, walks over, and drops it in the trash. Don't have to ever use that thing again. She goes, you're supposed to do what I say. Didn't you say that? Oh, you didn't say that? I guess I heard you say that, but you didn't really say that. Okay, I better. Yeah. I wouldn't have told her if she wasn't here. I really wouldn't have told her if she wasn't here because I knew she would laugh about this. But actually was going somewhere with that, but I don't even know where I was going now. Oh, I know, her perfect work. That was it, the feminine. Let patience have her perfect work. You know, it's you know, the wife. Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Isn't that interesting that patience is feminine. You know, sometimes the best thing a man can do is do what his wife says. Although sometimes I have reserved the right to refuse. But we must, Bobby says, I'm not saying nothing. I tell you, honestly, though, women, God made women who thinks layers deeper and wider than us men. You know, men, it's black and white. Yes, no, up, down, left, right. Women, it's veered a little to the left, slow down a little bit. This is not black. This is not white. This is gray. Don't you know your colors? You know, and so God gave us women to make us complete. Am I digging myself out enough? Well, it's true. I'm not just saying this. It's really true. That's the way God made men. It's the way God made women. Women are much more detail-oriented. And so let patience have her perfect work. Let her guide you. Let patience guide you the way your wife helps you become all that you need to be. Well, that came out pretty good, didn't it? In spite of myself. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, honestly, we were driving back yesterday, and I said, you really complete me, Carolyn. Did I not say this? You make me complete. I said, I get to spend more time with my granddaughter because of you. You're that feminine touch that has completed my life, and we had a great day with Violet yesterday, and you know, it's the truth. And is it possible, the way a wife completes a husband, that patience completes us? Well, according to James, let her have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. So when you're tempted to be anxious or afraid or grumble, just let her help you. Let patience help you. James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. And sometimes patience can be paraphrased or also used synonym as endure. You just keep on, you know. You know, the harvest hasn't came yet. The harvest, you pray for unsaved loved ones. Well, the farmer waits till the end of the summer. The fruit's not ready yet. It's not ready to harvest it yet. So be patient. And then Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that's really where it's at. It's resting in the Lord so that I can be patient. I can't do it on my own. And so, the third aspect of these trinity of tasks from Romans 12 is continuing instant in prayer. The definition of continuing, persistent in an activity or process. Persistent in an activity or process. Now, guys, if you've ever tried to date a woman, and I'm sure many of us have, and the girl says no, you don't just bow your head and walk away. You're persistent. You're persistent. You keep trying, right? Now, if she slaps you, that's probably a pretty good indication. Go ahead and walk away. But you know, That's the whole game, isn't it? You know, the woman is a little, you know, and you're like, and so you bring out all of your best attributes. Like with me, it was my witty jokes. Well, maybe that wasn't it anyway. Persistent in activity or process. And so, and it goes on to say, recompense or resume after interruption. That's another definition. In other words, you know, you don't quit when you failed. Continue as you pick up where you left off. And a great example is when Abraham stopped at Haran because of his father. And then, you know, when you stop somewhere and you settle down and you put roots in, then it's kind of hard to pick up roots again. He was supposed to be going to the land that God told him to go, but he stopped at Haran. And a lot of people, like myself, have had a call of God on their life, and they've backslidden. And yet God told Abraham, he didn't condemn him. He just said, hey, keep going. Get back on the road. Amen. And so continuing sometimes just means resuming where you were going when you lost your way. Don't let the devil bring condemnation. Just get back on the road again. Maybe you took a left turn. Maybe you stopped at Haran for a while. Maybe you got frustrated. Maybe God didn't make sense and you got mad and you quit going to church. Keep going. Don't stop. Continue. Continuing instant in prayer. Instant. A precise moment of time. It's an urgent, oppressing thing. Instant. We live in an instant society. We have instant coffee, instant oatmeal, microwave everything, right? But instant doesn't just mean get it over with. It means right now, this very instant, continuing instant in prayer. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, and most of us can quote it, ask and it shall be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. It's about prayer. Now the problem with that is that sometimes we don't ask, we don't seek, we don't knock. Prayer is one of those things that you don't have to go to a prayer meeting to pray. You can pray driving down the road, preferably with your eyes open. You can pray sitting in the recliner. You can pray in a hospital waiting room. You can pray anytime. There is much ado about supporting missionaries, as we should. But I can't go to Indonesia to preach the gospel, but I can pray for the missionary in Indonesia preaching the gospel. Prayer can cover the globe. Prayer can touch lives elsewhere. This morning we read in Eddie's reading from John 4, was it 4? About the man who asked Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus said, your son is healed. Jesus is prayer. So he just spoke the word, but the concept is Jesus didn't have to go to where that man's son was, that he sent the word and that man was healed. Prayer has no boundaries. Prayer has no limitations. There is no geographical boundary to prayer. Communist nations can build walls to keep out the gospel, but my prayer can go through those walls. Amen? And so we are to be continuing instant in prayer. Matthew 26:41, Jesus told us to watch and pray. I watch the headlines not because I want to be a journalist, but because I'm told to watch and pray. And he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is why I must pray. Because I am spiritually weak because of my flesh. If I was a disembodied spirit, if the thing that makes Roger who he is, which is all software, by the way, all inside me, right? Inside this hardware body, this biological machine. If it was outside of my biological machine, I would not have the temptations that I have. I would not be tempted to overeat because I would not have a stomach. I would not be tempted to lust or any of these other things because the flesh is warring against the spirit. When we're released from the flesh, we will not be tempted by these things. So the only way I can win the victory over the flesh is by prayer. Which brings us to Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or faint. Come on up, Nola. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or to faint. And so this trinity of statements from Romans 12:12 gives us a lot of meat to apply to our lives this week. I mean, I am, like all of you guys, guilty at times And James even said it. It's like a man who looks in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody by saying, do you remember what I preached last Sunday or the Sunday before? Because sometimes I have to look. Sometimes I'm guilty, like James, of being that man that looks in the mirror and then forgets what I look like. But we're not just to be hearers of the word, we're to be doers of the word. And so these three statements are a challenge to do more than hear a Sunday morning sermon for all of us, but to say, can I take three little things this week and apply them to my life? Can I, in spite of what's going on around me, rejoice in the hope that I have in Jesus Christ? Can I put aside emotional droughts and just begin to praise God for the hope that I have in Jesus? Can I this week, on these three simple things from Romans 12, be patient when things aren't going my way, when I have tribulations, when I have problems? Can I be patient and not just tolerate it, but not be annoyed or anxious? I mean, that's the real challenge, isn't it? To smile, even if a storm's going on the inside. To say hallelujah anyhow. And finally, to be continually instant in prayer. Praying always. Warring against the flesh in prayer. Just to begin to pray. Just to begin to pray at every circumstance and situation. Well, let's just pray about it. Well, I think I'll just talk to the Lord. Yeah, that's all prayer is. It's just talking to the Lord. I have conversation with him. Do you have a conversation with the Lord? Sometimes I'm arguing with him. You know what I told the Lord last December? You know, you told us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think it's kind of bad that you make the womb the way it is so that someone can roll over on the cord and a baby can die before being married. That's a pretty poor design, if you ask me. And then I had to repent. I was a little angry. But I was talking to the Lord. That's prayer. It's talking to the Lord. It's telling him how you feel. I'm sorry, Lord. You're sovereign. You know all things. I don't always understand. Sorry for my attitude. That's talking to the Lord. It's called repentance. You know? God, help us. Help us to take these three things this week and just really, where the rubber meets the road, apply them to our lives and let God be God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We are not to be just hearers of your word, Lord, but doers as well. So we pray this week that you would help us to take these three little things and try to do our best to walk them out, to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulation, and continue instant in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Jesus,
God bless you, everybody. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.